Now, will you note verse 7? And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, later on, we'll find out that they didn't hear. And somebody says, well, but it says here they heard a voice. Well, that's all they heard was a voice. They were speechless, and the voice didn't make sense to them. They could not understand what was said. All they heard was a noise, but they didn't see any man at all. There was no one for them to see. Now, we are going to come back to that again in the 22nd chapter and again in the 26th chapter. And at that time, I'll go over this again with you because I do think it's rather important. But the facts are what we're after now. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus. He's blinded, of course, by the light that he had seen from heaven. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. If there ever was a man puzzled, this man was. Now, a great many people, when they're converted, they jump up and down. They shout for joy, but not Saul of Tarsus. There never was a man as confused as he was. Had you met him in one of those 3 days in Damascus, he would have told you, or he might have asked you the question, what in the world has happened to me? I don't know. Well, he's going to find out. Verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Now we come to the conversion of this man, Saul of Tarsus, a remarkable conversion, of course. And I know that there are those that are going to ask the question. They say, now you believe that there is required the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God and through the man of God. And we wonder how they fit in with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Well, to begin with, the Lord Jesus appears to him. But you remember the Lord himself said before he left, he said that he was going away. I'll not leave you orphans. And that one of the things the Spirit of God would do, in fact, the thing, would be he'd take the things of Christ and show them unto you. Now, I think the Spirit of God, at the time that the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul, opened his eyes spiritually and closed them physically, that he might see the Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit was definitely at work. And somebody says, yes, but the Word of God. Well, here's a man who is a Pharisee. He knows a great deal about the Word of God. If there ever was anyone saturated with it was Saul of Tarsus. And later on in writing the epistles, which he did, he was well versed in the Old Testament and the language back there. Now we come to the one that I know someone is saying, yes, that may be true of these two, but you also say that God always uses a human instrument. Now, there was no human instrument at the conversion of Paul or of Saul. Well, if you understood me to mean that the human instrument has to be present at that very moment, well, then certainly there was no human instrument present there. But there was a human instrument. You remember I called attention to the fact that the early church was really a youth movement. There was this young Stephen, and there was young Saul. They only met at one time, and they were enemies. And you remember that this man Stephen said, I see heaven open and Jesus standing there. And Saul of Tarsus looked up, and he said, I don't see anything. But he looked into the face of Stephen, and he knew he was seeing something, and Saul said, he has something I don't have. I hope I can see the heaven open and see someone. And he did. The human instrument was Stephen, you see. I believe there's a human instrument in the conversion of every individual. And that's the reason that you and I ought to cast our influence for Jesus Christ. Now, I read a letter, I think it's the most remarkable letter, of a barber up north. One day this man came into his shop. He'd been coming for 20 years. This was the last time he came because apparently he died right after that suddenly. This man, when he got out of the chair paying for his haircut, he said to this man, "Have you ever heard Dr. McGee on the radio?" And he said, "No." And he went over to the man's radio and turned to the station we were on. He said, 8 o'clock, every morning you listen to him. And that barber began listening to us, and you know what's happened to him. There was a human instrument in the man's life, you see. There's a human instrument, friends, in the life of every individual. I heard Dr. Chafer once say that when he was praying with Dr. C.I. Schofield. Now, Dr. Schofield, before his conversion, was an international lawyer, outstanding, but a very heavy drinker. And so he had a godly mother, and his godly mother prayed for him. And she died and never knew that C.I. Schofield was converted. But in this prayer that he prayed, he and Dr. Chafer were praying together, he said, "Lord," he said, "if my mother doesn't know that I've been converted, would you mind telling her?" May I say to you, friends, I don't think you can have a conversion without a human instrument. And why don't you be a human instrument? That doesn't mean that you got to go and witness and get them down on their knees or get them to sign a card or to go forward. It just means that you see that Jesus Christ gets in the presence of the individual, that the Word of God is given out. That's the important thing today, and you're not going to have a conversion, a real conversion, without the man of God using the Word of God directed by the Spirit of God. And so we have that in the conversion of this man. Now he's led, brought into Damascus in the street called Straight, and poor Saul of Tarsus, brilliant young man that he was, is still a little bit confused. And then the Spirit of God appeared unto Ananias there, and he sent him over.